All right, thanks, guys. You guys are like the back row people, which I might have to make you move forward if I start to lose my voice. We're going to switch gears. That was a fiery, passionate one, but now we're going to talk about something I'm really passionate about, which is the health benefits of homeschool. My husband and I work in the outdoor industry. We spend the majority of our time in the backcountry hunting, fishing. It's really something I have realized is a huge benefit of homeschooling, is just the way that we can promote a healthy lifestyle for our children. And most of us know the benefits of homeschool are talked about, like academic, right, or family relationships, freedom, scheduling. We can schedule however we want to schedule. But something that is talked about very little is actually the health benefits of homeschooling. And did you know that according to statistics, the health of today's youth, well, you probably know, it's like down the toilet, right? I mean, our youth today, mental health, physical health, across the board, the health of our youth in this nation is, it's very scary. The lack of physical activity is astonishing. Only 20% of kids, this is according to the CDC, which I give them like zero credit for anything. But if they're saying it's this bad, you know it's even worse, right? Only 20% of kids are getting adequate amount of physical activity. The average American child spends under 30 minutes of unstructured outdoor play each day. More than seven, this is a teen, more than 7 hours of screen time a day is the average student. 7 hours. You guys are all like jaw-dropping because you're homeschool families. And that's foreign to you. But this is the average American kid. 30% of kids are not getting enough sleep. Like 100% of moms aren't getting enough sleep, I think. Like they don't say that, but I'm like, come on. And homeschool doesn't change that. That's the one thing I am going to tell you. You're not going to get more sleep just because you're homeschooled. You might get less. But we have a generation of undereducated, exhausted, sick kids living in crisis mode. Students today suffer with depression, anxiety, loneliness, obesity, and mental health disorders at an all-time high. The area of Idaho that I come from, I don't even like to tell people where it is. It's up in the Sun Valley area. Don't judge me. We work for those people. We aren't those people, is what we say. But it has the highest suicide rate in the state and one of the highest in the nation. And I find that so interesting, considering the affluence there, right? What does that tell you? It doesn't really matter. But the mental health crisis is insane. The physical health crisis, obesity. It's insane when you look at kids these days. We have kids with autoimmune disease, diabetes. I mean, things that were never heard of before in our youth. We're going to break this down into four areas of the health that we have the benefit as homeschoolers to really help with our kids. It's physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual health. As I talk through these, I'm not saying that because you homeschool, these are the benefits you have. Because the reality is you may not have any of these benefits unless you pursue them. Just because you homeschool, if you're sticking your kid on a screen for 8 hours a day, then you're causing just as much damage, right? If you're homeschooling and your kids are inside all day, every day, then it's really no different than the public school. So don't think that just because I homeschool, we're automatically going to, I mean, if you're giving your kids Doritos three meals a day, you're going to have the same issues. I'm not going to bash on Doritos. However, they did just, like, make illegal the red dye, right? So now we have to get rid of all the 400 other colors of dye that are killing us. So I am just telling you that as homeschoolers, you have the opportunity to help your kids in these areas. You have these opportunities, but you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to make the effort. You're going to have to run your homeschool in a way that will get all these benefits out of it. So when you guys, raise your hand if you went to public school. Okay, raise your hand if you didn't. Is it anybody? Nice. Okay, so most of us are, I was a public schooler. And what was like health in public school? Like what did we get? What?
Weights, PE.
Weights at PE, and how often did we do PE? Like, was it once a week when we were kids?
Twice.
Wow, you lived in a healthy area.
We were every day.
Well, I'm over there.
Okay. We're a little more health-minded. And then we had health class, right? I remember in elementary school, I really vividly remember cutting out, like, the carton of milk and gluing it on the the triangle thing? What is that? The food pyramid. Right? Obviously, I learned a lot there, right? That was like the extent of what I learned about in health. I don't really remember the takeaway, but I do remember PE. And I remember in PE climbing that rope, right? And I remember how horrifying it was because I could never climb that rope. But I remember, did you guys have to climb the rope and they timed you to the top of the ceiling in PE class? You guys didn't have to do that? Wow, it was brutal because like they don't work you up to it. Like you show up and they're like, climb the rope and hit the bell. And you're like, I like toothpick arms, right? And I always say, you know what? We missed out on my kids are going to miss out on PE in health class, right? They're going to miss out on the experience of running a timed mile. You can mourn for them and take a moment of silence now. But you know what? They will always have untimed walks in creation. Every day, we get to take untimed walks. No rush, no stress. The stress of PE, probably not for the guys, but it was a lot. It was like, I couldn't run a mile back then. My kids are never going to have to run, to climb the rope to the top of the gym ceiling, okay? But they climb to the top of mountains almost every single day. We go climb the hill. They'll never have to do the push-up limit. But my prayer is that by teaching them a healthy lifestyle, not just a healthy class, that they're going to always push their own physical limits and always push themselves to a healthier and better lifestyle. If we put it into practice. The other benefit is in health class, you are learning whatever the agenda of the school is, right? And I don't know what that is this day and age. I was a public school student and I was a public school teacher. And I can imagine it's been a long time since I taught school, but in 2020, I can imagine that they were pushing certain medical procedures in the last 5 years that I probably would most definitely not tell my children to have done. The benefit of homeschooling is I can instill in my children what is healthy according to my values, according to my morals, according to how I know that God created my body, right? Including how many genders there are, too, if you're confused. There's two, and I'm just going to keep saying it until I get taken away someday. So the physical benefits of homeschool, it's crazy. It's so awesome. And I'm going to start with physical. And I'm going to do a lot of comparing. I am not bashing on the public school system, sort of. I'm telling the truth about the public school system. And I can because I went to it and I was a teacher in it. And I'm just doing kind of a comparison, okay? As to the alternative to homeschool would probably be public school. Don't do it. But we're going to talk about the difference. So the first physical benefit I would say would be sleep. Did you know that the average child needs 9 to 12 hours of sleep? Sleep allows your body to fight disease. It regulates your mood. It allows you to heal from either infection, disease, anything that you're needing to heal with. That happens while you're sleeping. Reduce stress. Sleep is when our bodies work hard to heal. Stress, mental, emotional, physical, all of those things. The average kid needs 9 to 12 hours of sleep. Okay? I sit every morning, I get up before my kids and I sit by the fire with my cup of warm coffee and the bus comes by in the dark. Like that bus comes by so early and these teeny tiny little kids are out there standing at the bus stop in the freezing cold. We have snow upon snow. In the freezing cold, in the snow, at like 7 a.m., they're on the bus. And I'm thinking, and I also know what time they go to bed because they're in the same neighborhood, right? And I'm thinking these kids aren't getting that sleep. They're not getting the adequate amount of sleep that a kid is meant to get. We can set up our schedule based on how much sleep our kids need, right? We can tell them when to go to bed. I have the benefit of we're in this now weird season where we have teenagers and they like never go to bed. I don't know what happens. Like their whole circadian rhythm goes like this. And they go to bed so late. And it's normal. I researched it. Like their system really does that. And I remember those days from high school and college. Like you'd stay up to like 11 or 12 and then, but I can let them sleep in. And I'm not saying that they aren't going to have to. People are like, well, what about real life when they get a real job? They're going to need to learn to wake up. And I'm you know how long it's going to take my kid to learn how to use an alarm clock? Like one time. Like I am not setting my kid up for failure because I'm letting them sleep until 9 in the morning. When they have a job, they'll set the alarm and they'll get up. They're going to be okay. What matters more now is that they're sleeping, that their bodies are getting the rest that they need. When I look at these kids, I'm thinking they are going to bed so late. They get up 7 a.m. They're at the bus. They're thrown who knows what to eat, and we'll talk about that. They go to school all day long. My little neighbor boy is 6, and my daughter waits for him to get home because they can go play outside. And he gets home in the back of mom's car and he's sound asleep at 4 o'clock. Sound asleep at 4 o'clock. And he sleeps till about 7 in the evening because he's so exhausted because they have to get up so early and their little minds are going all day. They get no downtime. You know, they get in. If you're taking little naps in school on your pads, that's not relaxing. That's not the place that you're meant to nap. You're meant to be in mama's arms or in your bed, right? And he's exhausted. And then he comes wide awake at 7 o'clock. He's at my door knocking, right? And we're just like snuggling in for book time. And he's like, I'm ready to go play. And then he wants to play till 10. And I just watch. And his little body is so out of whack because it doesn't have this rhythm. And then I see older teens and I watch them and they're up early and they go all day and then they go to sports and then all my daughter's teenage friends, it's like, then they get home and they have homework till, like, if you looked at these kids' schedules, they're doing homework till like 10 o'clock at night and then they go to bed. And I'm like, where are they living? Where are they breathing? Where are they? The stress is insane. And so we can, as homeschoolers, we can shift our homeschool schedule based on what our kids need for sleep. If you've just had a new baby, it's okay to not start at 8 a.m. every day, right? You know that, right? We're not recreating school at home. You sleep and you let your kids sleep so that you can be healthy, so that then in the short amount of hours that you school, because did you know that you can homeschool in like this amount of time as opposed to this amount of time, if you're well rested, if you're healthy? If you have a tired kid, it's going to take them 7 hours to learn a concept versus like 7 hours a day versus we could get it done in 3 because they're with it. They're sharp. They're with the program because they've slept. We can also slow down our lives and our school to a workable pace that is not stressful. Okay. And I encourage you to do that. I see too many young homeschool moms think, well, school starts at 8:30. Like that's what time, and that's okay if that works for your family. If that's what works for your family, do it. If that's not what works for your family, it's okay to start at 9. It's okay on Wednesday because the night before you had youth group or whatever. I don't know how your schedule works, but you can adjust your schedule based on the needs of your kids. And that is going to help them retain more during the school day. It's going to help them emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually sleep. Okay, the next one is the biggest passion of mine, and it's outdoor time for kids. This will blow your mind. The average elementary child spends 15 minutes a day outdoors, 15-minute increments 3 times a day. And in middle school, I don't know if it's the whole state, but I know in my district at middle school, there's no recess. Do you guys have recess in middle school? Do you know in your schools? I will never forget, we live in the hills, and so right behind my house, we have this mountain we climb, and I was up there with my son one day, because we hunt a lot. And so on the off season, we're still just climbing and climbing. We were up on the hill and we were actually over. We could hear the school bell ring at the elementary school. And he started talking to me because it was the first day of middle school. And he goes, oh, so the kids are going to recess. He's like, that's what I would be doing. And I go, well, buddy, you're in middle school now. You wouldn't have recess. And he turned to me with this look and he said, Mama, I would die. And I'm like, I know you would die, and that's why you're not in there, right? Because that kid has to be outdoors. This is my son that will get up, and he gets up, and he gets on his bike, and he puts his bow on his back, and he goes out hunting, and he's home then, like, by 9 for us to do school together, and he'll go, like, deer hunt in the morning and then come home. Like, this is how he has to live to function. But when I get him sitting down to do school, he does it, and he does it well because I've let him go be a man and get fresh air and be outdoors, right? Your kids need it. And here's a fun fact about homeschooling. There's this great movement about getting your kids outdoors like a certain amount of time a year or something. And I won't say, but it's like counting these hours of how many hours you spend outside. I want to tell you something to free you up. You guys can go outside and not count your hours. You really can. Like, you can actually go outside. You know what you can even do? You can even send your kids outside and grab a book and read it while they're outside and not count the hours. I am watching this movement. These homeschool moms are feeling like there's so many, homeschooling is such a thing, and there's so much of social media. Everybody, like, everything's a thing, and we have all this pressure. We have to read a certain amount of hours. We have to be outside. We have to count our hours. And like, people can't even go outside anymore without counting their hours. For goodness sake, just kick the kids outside, right? Like, that's all they need. They don't need anything fancy. They need a pile of mud, and they're going to be just fine. My husband doesn't do any social media. He knows nothing about social media, like nothing. And one day he's like, so like, what is it? And I'm like, how do you explain it? And he's like, so people just take pictures of their food and then like post it? Like he, and I'm like, when you put it that way, it really is weird. So then we were talking and he's like, people count how many hours they're outside. He's like, that's really stressful. Like, who can do that? Like, what if you're out and then you go into the bathroom? Do you have to stop the timer? Like, so I'm just telling you, going outside does not have to be stressful. You don't have to do these elaborate nature walks. If you love to and you love to journal, right? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with it. But please do not feel this homeschool pressure of when we go outside, we have to have the colored pencils and the sketchbook and we're going to color the caterpillar and then we have to count our hours. Like, they've never done that in the history of ever. Okay? Like, that doesn't exist. But you can do it. It's okay if it helps you get outside. Here's the thing about schools. Those kids are in artificial light all day long. I don't know if you've done any research, but it's terrible for you. All day, every day, they're in artificial light. They are breathing recycled air all day, every day. They are surrounded by toxic cleaning products all day, every day. Maybe they have one classroom plant. Like, that might be, and a hamster. You usually have, like, a plant and a hamster in your classroom in elementary school. And that's all they get with nature in their, and then, and they might get the window seat. Maybe, and they'll get a little sunlight in the day. But kids are dying in there. They are dying in there. They're sitting, my husband worked, for a short time in law enforcement. He worked in law enforcement. He was a short time in incarceration in the jail. He was not incarcerated. One time at Christmas, my kids said, Daddy's in jail. And it was so awkward. And I was like, no, Daddy's not in jail. Dad's a police officer and he's working in the jail. But he was a police officer and he said, you know, the inmates would have, he goes, it looks exactly like a public school. Like, if you want to set your kids up to be a really, really good inmate, public school would be the best place to put them. It looks so similar because he said they would have certain amounts of hours a day or minutes, and it was between this time and this time that they could all go outside until, guess what, like a bell rang, and then they all had to come back inside. And it was just this whole system because it looks just like the public school. But he said that there would be this place that, you can tell me what they're called, where the sun can come in, but there's like a glass.
Skylight.
Okay. And he said it was insane. He would see all the inmates huddled in this little area to try to get that sunlight. And it was just like this natural thing that they were just trying to get the sunlight. And then he said when they would go outside and they'd have their block of outside time, he said that the demeanor of those inmates were like night and day. The anger, the aggression, the intensity, it was just like, because they were outside. And he was telling me this because we had a son that was like 4, which is like having an inmate in your house. And so like when our son's indoors for that amount of time, it's like he just starts to get like this, right? And then I send him outside and it's like, because we were designed, he's also now 14. So then like that goes away. And then when they're 14, they're like back to like inmate status, right? They just need to go out and be outdoors. It's for their safety. And so when I look at the schools and I'm like, no sunlight, recycled air, these lights, sitting in these rows, just this intense, like, it just stresses me out to talk about it. And it's like, no wonder our kids are sick. And we can, with homeschool, we can open up our home, open up every window all day if you can, right? They can get vitamin D at any time. When you see your kids start to twitch or glaze over, or if your kid ever has a tear during school, stop doing what you're doing and go outside. I am telling you, do not power through math. Do not power through anything. If there is a look on their face where they're done, go outside, right? Climb trees, touch the earth, take your school outside. My son hated reading until I let him read in the tree. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't get him out of the tree. He loved to read. And it's because he was reading inside. And it wasn't that he hated reading. It's that he hated being inside, right? He loves to be outdoors. Do you know that kids, and you guys all know this because you're moms, but the uneven earth walking is so good for their balance, right? And when kids are indoors all day walking down the hallways of the school, they don't have that uneven ground. Uneven ground is directly connected with their neurological development, walking on uneven ground, touching the earth, being in fresh air. It boosts immune function. It fights depression. It reduces mental stress. It improves sleep. and it cleanses our bodies with toxins. I cannot tell you enough to go outside. The next one is exercise. We think that exercise is a class credit, those of us that were in school, right? I also tell every parent, don't make Bible a school subject. Don't make Bible a school subject, because you know what? You should never graduate from reading your Bible. You should never take weekends off from reading God's Word. You never master God's Word. It's not a, if it's part of your school, your kids are like, it's summertime. That means we never have to read God's Word, right? That is not a school subject. That is part of our life, right? And it's the same with exercise. PE is not two times a week or whatever. Exercise, being in the outdoors, taking care of our bodies, that's a lifestyle. And we have an opportunity to do that with our kids. Go for a walk every day with your kid if you can. A stroller with the baby. Strap one on. And talk about history. Like, our walks, my walks with my kid are when they take their tests, right? And I don't give a test, but I'm like, hey, tell me about your book. And before you know it, we've walked 3 miles and I know everything that they read the last week, right? And they never had to take a test. And by the end of the walk, they didn't even realize how much they just regurgitated to me about. And especially with boys and the men in this room will tell you, there's something about boys that don't like to be like this in conversation, right? I don't know why, because this is how I like to converse, right? And when I would do this, my son would like shut down. Something about boys are like this, if we talk like this. And there's a whole bunch of studies on it, and there's a whole bunch of proof for that. And I don't care. I just know that that's how it works. And so if you're walking with your son or doing something physical or throwing a ball or doing something like that, you're going to interact and connect with him so much better. Geology. I wish I had a video. I did a video once, and you can find it, that is how we take our school outdoors. Geology, right? You can go find all the kind of rocks that you want. Climb the hills, go for bike rides to go get the mail. I mean, make being outdoors, make exercise part of your homeschool. Make it just part of your day. It just needs to be a part of your life. I always tease my kids will never dissect a frog like I did, because they have broken down so many elk on the side of the hill that they could teach the anatomy and physiology class, but find ways to teach that by getting them into the outdoors. The next benefit, health-wise. And actually, I should pause and say, do you guys have any other fun ways that you get your kids' schools outdoors? Because sometimes we need ideas. Like, oh yeah, we can take our reading outside. I never thought of that. That's allowed, right? Because we have homeschool freedom.
You may have said this, we garden a lot together, and we will read books while we're weeding.
There you go.
Kids will take turns reading the books.
That's so awesome. There's botany, check, right? Reading. Gardening, check. Reading,
or
check.
Or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Totally. That's a great idea. And they're contributing to the home, right? And that's a fun way of getting outdoors. It's amazing when you're outside how much kids will open up. It's amazing how their entire demeanor changes outside. I promise you it will. And I wasn't going to go into this because I have a whole nother talk about the benefits of getting kids outdoors. But there's a lot of ways. If your kid is reluctant to go outside, you know, give them a book to take out. Give them a journal to take out. Even I'm a big, and we'll talk about this later, I'm a big advocate of not having screens at a young age, or at least very limited screens, and at an older age, probably even more so in the high school time. But if you have to, be like, okay, let's take the iPad outside and take pictures of things outside, like the caterpillar, the whatever. Like, find creative ways, okay? But if you start your kids young, then they're never going to want to come inside anyway. Okay, food. So that's another benefit we have with homeschool. If you choose to do it this way, we're not having to shove our kids Pop-Tarts to get out the door at 7 a.m. We don't have to do that, right? I watched these kids at school when I was teaching, and the rate in which they ate was, I'm like, that's why these kids are so sick. Like, they're eating on the bus. Go, 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 go. In elementary school, they have 30 minutes, right? And in those 30 minutes for lunch, you have to fit lunch in recess. Well, any warm-blooded child is going to be like, shove the food in. Like, let's do the ratio. I want to be 25 minutes outside, 5 minutes eating, right? Like, that's how this is going to work. They're not saying 15 minutes eating. They're like, so these kids are just either shoving food down or they're not eating so that they can go outside and play. The vending machines, right? Where are they getting their food? The vending machines. We can do it so different. All of those things spike a kid's blood sugar so fast. The garbage food, the eating fast, the not taking your time. The great thing about homeschool is we can eat and do school at the same time. They can take I mean, don't let them take an hour. They will take an hour if you give them an hour. My kids will take like an hour to eat breakfast. They will take two if you let them. But like we watched, you guys know World Watch? Like World Watch is, there's my plug, shameless plug. I make no money. World Watch is the best thing you could get your family. We watch World Watch at breakfast, you know, so you can double up. And then we just have a leisurely breakfast. And then they can take lunch and have a leisurely lunch. We can feed them healthy food. We can feed them a balanced meal. We're not shoving garbage food in them to get out the door. It makes a huge difference. We can teach them how to cook. I mean, that's what I love with my daughters, is they love to cook with me, right? And they can do it breakfast, lunch, and dinner if they want because they're home with me. They can learn what it's like to go to the grocery store and make healthy choices because they're with me. And when they're with me, they can learn these lifestyles. Another health benefit of homeschooling is when our kids are sick. I will never forget teaching in the public school and kids would get sick in our classroom and it felt like it never left. I mean, we would have like 3 months of just rotating the sickness through the classroom. And I looked at these kids and they would be sent to school sick. And I'm like, why aren't they staying home? Well, because they only have a certain amount of days that they can stay home, right? And these poor parents are like, I have to send them sick. And so these kids are never healing. They're never getting the rest they need. They're never getting the care that they need. And then I remember getting into high school and it's like, you can't be sick because if you're sick in school and take a day off, you have to make up all that work. Right? And then your stress level goes through the roof because you can't rest at home and be sick and let your body heal because you're so stressed about what you're missing. And then when you do go back, you've got double the amount of work. These kids are just mentally in a state of exhaustion all the time and overwhelm. So at home, guess what? If your kid is sick, let them be sick. There's no such thing as making up work. Just let them sleep. Let them rest. We can do that, right? Mom, if you're sick, call the day off, call the week off. It's gonna be okay. Why? Because we have homeschool freedom in Idaho, right? Because we don't have to count our days in Idaho. Did you know in most states you have to turn in how many days you've schooled and you have to prove it? Did you know that when they start handing us the money, that's also gonna be a thing? We don't have to do that, okay? There's a shameless plug. We can rest. We don't have to make up the days. I saw it over and over and over when I was a teacher, these sick kids, and then they would just keep infecting and nobody ever really got well. Then we're going to hit, I'm going to have time to go into this other part. Okay. So those are the physical benefits of homeschooling. Then there's mental and emotional benefits. I was just listening to, was it Heidi St. John or Ali Stuckey on the way down here to see you guys? And was just listening to the mental health crisis in the teens in this country. And just last week, a 17-year-old girl, she was on the ski team. She was captain or whatever you call the head of the softball team. An incredible young woman, 17 years old, shot herself. And it was devastating. And they got all the teams together. And the statistic I just heard down here was something like, it was over 50%. It was like 60% of teen girls have contemplated suicide. I mean, that's insane. And they were trying to figure out why, you know, why. And I think a lot of it is these cell phones, the social media, the pressure of life, the pressure of all the things. I was talking to another mom the other day and she, I was getting my hair cut and the hair lady called and said, I'm going to have to cancel your appointment because I have to go pick my kids up from school. So she rescheduled and she was sharing that the bullying, her daughter got cornered seventh grade in the bathroom by a bully and was being threatened and all this stuff was happening. And I guess a whole bunch of the middle schoolers got sent home because the bullying got so out of control that these girls, they were hysterical. They were crying. Like the whole day was just dead at the middle school because the bullying got so out of control. And I looked at my little fifth grader who would be in sixth grade next year. And like, she's over there playing with her doll and is just as happy as can be. And I'm just thinking, I couldn't even imagine a year older than her having to be thinking through these things, having to be afraid every day to go to school for bullying. It's insane. The peer pressure. Like, so at home, they don't have to bully, right? And my husband always teases. He's like, you know, every kid needs it a little while. So he'll just like, as a kid goes down the hall, stick his foot out and trip him just once in a while, just so they can experience it. He's like, they just need to know. It'll be fine. It'll toughen them up. But in our home, my kids can feel safe every day. they get to feel safe. I mean, not always. They do have a brother, but so the girls might always, there could be balls going by. But overall, they feel safe. The other thing that I love about homeschool is my kids can be who they are and who God made them to be and never think that there's something wrong with that. Like, there's not this comparison thing. And my 16-year-old daughter, like, when I grow up, I want to be just like her, but she's the coolest girl because she's 100% who she is, and it doesn't even occur to her that, like, when I take her shopping, it doesn't even occur to her that there are, like, trends, right? That there are, like, that's cool, that's not. She has her own style, and she loves her own style, and it's very uniquely her own style, and it's, like, the coolest style, but it doesn't occur to her that, like, you're kind of supposed to dress like everybody else. And I love that she doesn't have that pressure. And I love that she can see other kids totally different from her and appreciate the differences rather than think they're weird. Because we don't have that constant peer pressure in our homeschool. They are so much more just mentally and emotionally healthy because they can be who they are. They can like what they like. They can like the kind of music or the kind of books or whatever it is. They can like it because that's who God designed them to be. They don't have the pressure of, I need to fit in. I need to be like that kid. And it's so freeing. And some people say, well, don't you think that's going to be weird when they get out into the real world? And I said, but the real world isn't really like that. Like, I speak all over the country. And I don't walk into a room and be like, oh girl, that shirt was like last year's. Like, it doesn't exist. And I mean, maybe it does, but those aren't the people I'm surrounding myself with, right? That's not how it is in the real world. You then find your people and you communicate and it makes them so much more mentally and socially healthy. It eliminates anxiety. They're not rushed. They are not rushed in school. Please get rid of grade levels in your homeschool. Okay. My husband and I used to give a geography bee for homeschoolers in our area, and there was like this many and they were all in a room. And I said, okay, we needed to separate them somehow. So I said, okay, if you're fifth grade and up, go to this side. And if you're fourth grade and under, go to this side. And they all sat there like this. I mean, they were like, what? And I was funny because I've only ever homeschooled. So that was kind of for my kids. So I don't know why I did that, but I'm like, okay, if you're 12 and up, go to the, and then they got up and moved. But it's like, they didn't know. And the best answer I ever heard is a kid said, I heard someone say, what grade are you in? And they said, in math or in language? And I loved that. I loved that. I was like, that's a smart kid. Like, what subject? Cause, you know, and so our kids can go at their pace and they're never stressed and they're never overwhelmed. And it took me a long time to learn that because I was a teacher and I was trained as a teacher and everybody's like, well, that's why you can homeschool. And it was honestly the worst. It was my biggest downfall. It took me years to throw away my teacher. And I probably ruined my first daughter trying to be a teacher at home rather than be a mom at home, right? And try to fit her in the box that I thought. And for those first couple years, I needed to keep her at grade level. And she was stressed and she was overwhelmed and she hated school and she hated math. And I figured out, what am I doing? Like, what? I had a very godly mom say to me, you might as well put him back in school and go get coffee because that's all you're doing at home. And I'm like, I needed that. I needed to hear that. And so we kind of, you know, I learned that early on, thank goodness. But now with my one daughter, the minute I see her get stressed in any subject level, my youngest, well, I do it with my oldest too, but she's little and she's just getting into that hard math stuff. The minute she gets stressed, we stop and we go back, right? And she no longer, we don't have tears. And I know there's the no more tears way of doing things, but here's the no more tears way of doing things. Don't push them beyond where they're ready to be pushed, right? Teach them where they're at and grow with them. So we have the ability to not have a rushed homeschool, to eliminate stress in that way. Did you know that the typical high school student, listen to this, sits in school an average of 7 days a week, 5 days a week, and then they're sent home with 2 hours of homework every night. Okay, so you have school, and part of me is like, what are they doing? If you can't get that done in 7 hours, and they still get 2 hours of homework, something's wrong in there, right? And no wonder these kids are off the charts sick. They're emotionally sick, they're spiritually sick, they're mentally sick, and they're physically sick. We don't have to do that, so don't recreate school in your home. Slow it down. Go outside. Okay, the next one, spiritual health. I've heard people say, well, you're raising your kids in a bubble, right? Because you homeschool. And then I heard, this is not mine, I heard this somewhere, I heard the rebuttal was, no, I'm raising them in a greenhouse. And I love that because a greenhouse is a safe place from the weather, right? And we start the little baby seedlings, and that's where they're healthy. And we, and the owner of the greenhouse gets to determine how much humidity is in there, the temperature in there. It's a totally controlled place. And why do we put raise plants from seed to, you know, baby in a greenhouse? Because it's safe and we can make sure that they're strong. Then when that, you're a gardener. Who else is a gardener? When those seedlings are strong, when that's ready to go outside, we don't just go throw them in the ground, right? I mean, I live in the mountains. I've done that and I've killed. I do not have a green thumb. I'm getting there. But you have to put them out for a little bit, right? In the nice part of the day, when it's safe, when it looks good. And then you bring them back in. And then you do it a little longer the next day. And then you start, they start to harden off and they get where they are strong enough on their own to withstand the elements. Then you take them out and you put them in the ground, but you don't just put them in the ground. Then you kind of cover them so that they can get used to that. It's a process with a plant. And how in the world do we think it's any different with our children, right? Why is it that when our kids are brought home from the hospital, we have the car seat and we have all of these things to make our kids so safe and so healthy. And we have everything is like child-proofed and everything is, you know, we're just so careful and we have the little guys out in the street that are like, slow down, children play here. And we're just, and then they turn five and we're like, see ya. You know, you're ready for the world. And it's like, they're not ready for the world, not spiritually, not emotionally, not mentally. And so we get to use these years that our kids are homeschooling and we get them, put them in this greenhouse where we get to root them in truth. Right? Where they don't have to go out every single day and fight for their faith. They get to be at home learning truth. They get to be at home learning who they are, who God is, why they were created, what they were created for, that they were created, right? They don't learn that out there. They were just a big accident out there. And so that is spiritually helping our kids. I was in public school and I had to fight for my faith every day. And I was a strong, strong kid. I was a very, I was the kid that in science class, the science teacher was teaching evolution. And I was also a straight A 4.0 student because I was a people pleaser. So I'm like, okay, I have to get an A on this test, but I don't want to lie on this test because evolution's not true. So I'm the girl that didn't just quietly do what I was supposed to do. I raised my hand. I said, excuse me, Mr. Barnes, I have two pens and I'm going to take your test in two different colors. One's going to be the answer that you want so I can get an A, but one is going to be the truth. I'm going to write the true answers on here. And I was always that kid. I was always the kid that was, I was not trying to make trouble, but I just wasn't going to do the thing because it was the thing to do. I was going to tell the truth and I was going to speak the truth and I wasn't afraid to go against. But I have parents come to me now and they say, you know, my kid's strong. And they're going to be okay in there. And here's the thing. I was strong. I was very strong. I never caved. I never caved once. And in fact, I got most stubborn in our school yearbook. Like not, you know, cutest or most likely to succeed or all. I was like most stubborn, which why is that even a thing? Who even put that in there? But it's because I never, ever, ever wavered on my faith. But my junior year in high school, I was so weary. I was so burdened and overwhelmed. I would go home every day and cry for hours because I was too young. I didn't have the foundation. I didn't have the people around me. I was not meant to be in that every single day fighting tooth and nail for my faith. And I almost took my life as a junior in high school because I was like, I just need to go to heaven because this isn't my home. But because I wasn't old enough, I wasn't strong enough, I hadn't been raised in the greenhouse ready to go out there, right? And so spiritually, it can break our kids, but we have the opportunity to homeschool them and get them so spiritually strong so that when they're adults, they can go out there and change the world and make a difference and stand for truth and go against the flow for the gospel and for the truth, right? That's what they can do. But also in a school, you know, we weren't meant to do it alone. Adults don't do it alone. I don't stand for my faith alone. I have my sisters and my brothers in Christ. Like, I have people. We're not meant to go out alone. But yet we'll send our kids into the schools alone. And it's hurting them. It's hurting them. So don't ever think my kid's strong enough, right? Because they might be strong enough. They might be able to buck the system and stand for truth. but it's not going to do them any good. Praise God that he had a different plan for me and he's used the way that I am. But I wouldn't want to put my kids through that. I would have rather been raised in a greenhouse. So that's why we can, that's the benefit. We can spiritually just get our kids solid. We can get our kids solid. We can teach them truth when they're young. And then when they're ready to go out, they can make a difference in the world. Okay, social health. So I did kind of talk about the jail system, right? Social. And everybody says, what about socialization with homeschool? Do they still say that? Is that still even a thing?
It's like the number one argument.
Yeah, which is so weird. Because I often say, like, what they don't mean socialization. They mean social conformity. Like, you don't really, you're not really concerned that my kid's going to be socialized. Because my kid's going to be socialized. You mean my kid's not going to socially conform very well, right? Which I say, praise God. Because, like, I don't want my kid to be a social conformist. Like, I want my kid to be who God created them to be, right? Social conforming would say that a boy is a girl and a girl is a boy because that's what they're teaching them, right? So that's not what they mean. And I actually tell people a lot with that one, you don't even really have to give an answer for that. Like, I mean, you can say, okay, like I told you, the jail system, like if you want to have your kid like super socialized and really excel in the prison system, then I would for sure put them in public school because they're going to be able to socialize very well in that setting. But the reality is tell me where else in the world besides the jail system do kids only get a talk when they're told? They only get to go to the bathroom when they're told. They only get to talk to those their own age, right? Their own peers. They only get to talk with those within the same four walls that they were assigned to that year. And then they can talk to other people maybe at 15-minute recesses, right? That's not socialization. That's never been socialization. Socialization is multi-age, multi-setting. You know, my kids can talk to people of all ages, right? In all different settings, of all different, you know, socioeconomic statuses, okay? That's not real socialization. You guys know that. You guys know that because you're homeschoolers. You can help explain that to someone, but I would often just not go there. I would often not go there. I would introduce them to a homeschooler. There's, raise your hand if you were homeschooled in here. Okay. Are you okay? Right? I feel like you're probably okay. Like, do you have friends? Like, you're married and have kids, obviously. Like, you're here. I think you're probably okay. So just get their number and then send those people out to lunch with them. I just think that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I just don't even really address it anymore. I'm like, I'll just let them meet my kids. Like, here's my kids. Like, I don't know. Talk to them. That's the other thing I say. Have you ever been in a middle school? Because, like, they're all socially weird. Like, all of them are socially weird. I remember my cousins were homeschooled. They lived in another state. I didn't really know them, but I always remember my parents talking to them. They were homeschooled. They were weird. So we were having this family reunion, and my parents were like, they're weird. They're homeschooled. Because my parents were public school teachers, and we were public school kids. And they're always like, they're really weird. So we got to this family reunion, and guess what? They were weird. And I look back at pictures and I'm like, oh, I was weird. Like I was a middle schooler. Middle schoolers are weird. They're all weird. So then we fast forward and we go to another family reunion when we're all in like our 20s with kids. And I meet these weird homeschoolers. And they are they're now like all our best friends, the most incredible men who have married the most incredible women who are raising the most incredible families. And I realized, I go, oh, I'm not raising a middle schooler. I'm raising an adult someday. And so if my homeschooler is weird in middle school because they don't know all the cultural pop thing, like when people start to talk about like pop culture around my kids, they're like, we don't know what any of that is. Right? And I'm like, you're fine. It's going to change anyway. But I'm not raising a cool middle schooler. I am raising a hopefully future adult that is productive in our culture and society and the world and in the country we live in. Right? And so it's okay if your kids are weird right now. Praise God. Have you seen what's normal? Like, have you seen, like, they're putting litter boxes in middle school classrooms? Okay? Because a kid might identify as a cat. Have you been reading about that? Like, I'm okay if my kid's weird. It just means they're not like everybody else. Praise God for weird homeschool kids. The other thing I want to tell you, though, is often, and this might not be down here, you guys, seems like you guys have an incredible homeschool community, but sometimes homeschooling can feel lonely. I also feel like when your kids, does anybody have high schoolers? it can start to feel, at least where we live, a little, like where my kids are, like, I'm a little lonely, and everybody thinks that just because there's another homeschooler, we're like instantly best friends just because we both homeschool. And I'm like, they do, right? They're like, oh, you're homeschooled? Oh, he's homeschooled. And my kids are like, we have zero in common. I'm like, it's so funny how people think that. But I was telling my kids, you know what? Loneliness doesn't have anything to do with how you're educated. It's kind of a lonely time in life. Like, I went to a high school full of 700 kids, and I was lonelier than I've ever been. And I was surrounded by people, right? And so I tell my kids, this is when you're going to root yourself and build a relationship with God more than ever. This is when you're going to find that one friend. And each of my kids has that one friend. And there's that verse, and you'll be able to tell me where it is because I don't know, but it talks about it's better to have that one friend that's like a brother than a multitude, right? And so this is a time to tell your kids, like, it's okay that you don't have 500 friends. You've got Jesus. It's okay. God's going to bring you people when you need people. You don't need 400 friends. Really, in the school, all you're doing is trying to survive and fit in. And so if your kids are lonely, don't lie and be like, they're not lonely. They're totally fine. It's okay. Sometimes I'm lonely. I can be lonely sometimes. Like, you know, it's okay. Help them be rooted. And then they're going to go out and they're going to find their people and they're going to be okay. But don't think that just because kids are in schools with 700 other kids and on all these sports teams that they're not lonely. They're lonely. That's why there's a mental health crisis going on out there. So at the end of, we're going to talk about kind of a side note of this, about raising healthy kids. And we'll just go into that. The one thing I see in the homeschool world is these only work if we do it, if we're raising our kids in a healthy manner. One of the most dangerous things, and I want to talk about this in my last probably 10, 15 minutes, and then we can do questions or whatever, is one of the most unhealthy things you can do for your kids is put them on screens all the time. I'm not saying it's not okay to put them on a screen for 5 minutes here or there. But I am saying that statistic that I read to you about kids are on screens 7 hours a day, and mostly social media. And I'm telling you, moms that have young kids, because it's coming up fast, and those of us with high school kids, I feel very blessed that my kids don't even want social media. Like, it hasn't even been a conversation. Like, they aren't interested. But what I'm watching is the dangers of social media for kids. Raise your hand again if you have middle schoolers or up. Okay, so quite a few of you. The Homeschool Idaho Convention a couple years ago at the youth program, the teen program, there's like 200 teens. And I remember I had little kids at the time, and a mom came out and she had her teen in there. And she goes, they asked the kids to put their phones in a basket when they got in here so that they wouldn't have phones in there. And the baskets were empty. There were no phones. So they said to this group of 200 teens, they're like, you know, raise your hand if you had a phone. And not one of those 200 teens had a phone. And I was like, that is so cool, right? And what was even cooler is they all had each other. They all looked around and they're like, whoa, there's like 200 of us. Like, I'm not the odd man out, which is probably usually how it is for these kids, right? So I would assume most of you already know the dangers of it. I'm going to go through it really quick, but the first thing I want to tell you is, it's not so much if your kids are on it, it's if you're on it, because what your kids are learning is what you're doing, right? Your kids are learning from you. Your kids are watching you, so you can tell them all day the dangers of social media and tell them the dangers of how unhealthy it is, but if they're watching you on it all day, every day, then you're lying to them, right? And they know it, and they're going to go, oh, okay, so it's just not for me as a kid. I'll wait till I'm a grown up. But it is dangerous, and I would love to see us raise a generation of people that do face-to-face socialism. Socialism? No. Socialization. We're not going to do socialism. Socialization, as opposed to this. One of the downfalls, the unhealthy things, when we're talking about the unhealthy things, since this is a health talk, is groupthink. We're having kids have all this groupthink. That's why you can go to a college campus and see riots happen, and most of those kids don't even know why they're rioting. Not a clue. They have no idea why they're out there chanting or what they're even chanting about, because they've been taught to groupthink, right? They've been taught that these devices are where they're getting all their information, and they need to just socially conform to what they're seeing on there. It's also causing loneliness in epidemic portions. It's insane, the loneliness. And what's strange is these kids have the world at their fingertips. They could talk to thousands of people at any moment. But statistics are showing that teenagers in America are more lonely now than they've ever been. And that's very interesting to think. It's because there's no real connection. They're not having any real connection with a real human being. It's all these people on the other side of the screen. You go to a bus stop, you go by a bus stop, and what's everybody doing? I go to a restaurant, and I see mom, dad, and all the kids on their screens at a restaurant, and it blows my mind. It's causing major social problems. It's causing emotional problems, depression, comparison, identity issues like never before. And moms and dads, I'm talking to you because we constantly talk about this with kids, and you guys know it's bad, and you know it's bad for teenagers, but my question is, what are we doing? What are we showing them? Are we setting up healthy patterns for them, right? Because like I said, as a mom, especially as a homeschool mom, you look at all these other homeschool homes through the screen and you think that's what yours is supposed to look like. And when the Bible talks about the woman and it says, don't go door to door being in everybody else's business. And I think now we don't go door to door, but look what we're doing. Door to door, house to house. I'm looking at what everybody else's homeschool looks like. Right? And I'm comparing myself and I'm failing every day when I look. They're all lying. Okay, it's not perfect. That's not really what their lives look like. Like, could you imagine if they really? But then the pendulum swings to over here and now the trend is let's just be real, right? Let's just show all the real and all the hard. And then we're like almost idolizing. It's such a messed up world. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for you, and you're setting your kids up to think it's okay. So get off of it yourself. Kids and screens, the physical health issues of it. I just read that children, they're seeing mass amounts of carpal tunnel in kids from this. Carpal tunnel in children, in their thumbs, because they're doing this. Neck issues. Kids are having to see chiropractors. I mean, they're saying it's like, it's insane how many kids, because neck, their spine is actually doing this because they're always like this. Real physical issues. Eyes, they're saying kids are having all sorts of eye issues because of the flickering, the lights on the screens, right? And again, you can tell your kids this, but you need to show your kids this by you not being on it. Mental. We never have to be quiet with our thoughts when we have these devices. I got in a habit of every day I'd go for a walk and I'd listen to something, because it was like my time to listen to podcasts or whatever. And one day I realized, like, I haven't been quiet with myself. Like every day I plug myself in and the entire, you know, hour that I'm walking, I didn't hear a bird. I didn't hear anything in creation, right? I was listening to this and then I got home and I was so stressed. I was so stressed because the podcasts I was listening to were totally stressing me out. Even though they were good, they're like, oh, here's how to homeschool great. And I'm like, golly, I have to go home and homeschool better. They was stressing me. We're never quiet with our thoughts. And it's the same with our kids. When we're showing them to plug in all the time, they're never quiet with their thoughts. And that's scary and that's dangerous and that's not healthy. We don't have to remember things. We just buried my father-in-law with dementia and it was brutal and it was hard. It was really hard because dementia is an ugly, ugly disease. And they say one way to avoid it is by working your brain, right? And we no longer have to remember things. Do you remember the old days when, like, you'd watch a movie and you'd try to remember what other movie that guy was in? And everybody like, what is it? Or were you, that song, like, who wrote that song? Or who was that actress? Or who? And it was like, you're working your brain, and then the first person that gets it is like, yeah, oh, I almost got that. Not anymore. What do? The second we want to know something, we Google it. We don't have to try to think. We don't have to try to remember. That's scary. I've even learned with driving, I used to talk a lot about, I wrote for the NRA for a while and just, concealed carry and gut and like self-protection. And, you know, one thing I always talked about is just really, really knowing your surroundings, and being aware of your surroundings. And I find myself, I have totally slacked in that because now, you know what I do? I just plug it in my phone, hit go, like to get to this campus. And I got here and I'm like, I don't know where I am. I have no idea where I am because I just plugged it in my phone, hit go, and then started listening to my podcast. And it's scary how we don't know. We're not paying attention to directions. We're not paying attention to our surroundings. It's actually not only unhealthy, it's dangerous. So it's killing our memories because we don't have to remember things anymore. We're not exercising our brains. We're just clicking and getting information, constantly getting information. It's mentally numbing for us and our kids. So, I would say the best thing is to delay any sort of screen. Okay, 5 minutes. Okay, so last, spiritual. And I wasn't going to, I just was only going to go into the tech thing if we had time. But if we're talking about health, this is one of the most unhealthy things. Spiritual health with tech. Best case scenario, you're being fed God's word through other voices. I listened to a lot of podcasts that were biblical, that were, you know, conservative, that were homeschool, that were edifying and all these good things. But what I realized is I'm listening to everybody else tell me what God's word says. I'm listening to everybody else tell me what God is teaching them, right? That became my quiet time. Blogs and podcasts and voices telling me what God's word says rather than going to God's word and seeing what God's telling me through his word, right? And again, if my kids are watching me do that all the time, I'm training them, go get all your information out there, right? Go get all your biblical wisdom out there. Because they're watching me do it rather than say, shut it all off and open the word of God. But that's the best case scenario, that they're listening to good quality things, that we're listening to good quality things. But the worst case scenario is that we're being deceived and we're listening to false things, right? Because that's everywhere. The news, it's the religion of the world, right? As opposed to truth. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So even best case scenario on technology, if we're constantly being fed good things, it still might not be as good as we think. So I want to recap. If you choose to structure your homeschool in such a way, your kids can just soar health-wise. You have everything laid out to give them the best foundation health-wise if you're doing it right. You can let your kids sleep the way that their bodies need, when they need, how they need, the times that they need. You can feed your kids food that are actually going to nourish them. You can go outside anytime you want. You can count your hours or not. Go outside, get vitamin D, get fresh air, get a new perspective on life. Let's see. What else do we have? Sick. When your kids are sick, you can let them be sick. You can teach them that exercise is not a class. It's a lifestyle. Health is not a class. It's a lifestyle. It's how God created us to live our, you know, healthily. Mental and emotional. We talked about that and just the benefits, the way that your kids can be safe and loved and created to live the way that they were created to live. And that is such a blessing, you guys. And spiritual. So those are, I don't even think I have time for any questions. Where is she? The person telling me when I'm supposed to be done. There you are. Sorry. Okay. If you guys have questions, or you could stay. I can take questions. I'm even willing to take questions from the last session that we did. And then I'm out of here because I have to hit the road to go back home. So are there any questions? Or share how you have experienced health in your family through homeschooling.
This is a loaded question. What is your vision at the end of when your kids leave you? Leave your home.
For my kids?
Yes.
Well, my daughter's a junior, and she said to me the other day, why is it that the second I turned, that I got into my junior year, which we didn't even know it was the junior year, because, you know, you don't do grade level, and someone's like, she's a junior, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're right. And she said, why is everybody asking me what my next plan is? She goes, Mom, am I supposed to know what I'm doing the rest of my life at 16? And it freaked her out, and I looked at her and I said, because all her friends do, they all have their life planned out. And I said, you know, in 10 years, I would bet none of them are where they're saying they're going to be right now. And she said, what if my answer is this? I don't know, but God does. And that's how she answers it. So what do I see for my kids when it's time to go? I see that they have been given an incredible foundation, that they have a solid family life, that they know that they're loved, that they know who they are, that they can stand strong in a culture that has lost its foundation. And that they trust the Lord and in their next step, whatever that next step looks like. That's my goal for my kids. It's not anything crazily academic. It's just that they're walking with God because he knows their future, right? I don't know if that's the right answer, but that's my answer.
So obviously we talk about a lot of up till high school, right? We do all that. What's your view? Because I believe college is 10 times worse than any high school out there, and I still don't think it's in my opinion, is just a big socialistic scam. But anyway, yeah. What's your view on when you're teaching your kid where to go from there?
Right.
Now, if you need to be a doctor, don't get me wrong.
Right.
Go to be a doctor because you can become a surgeon. I'm fine with that. But
right.
What's your
okay, view? If you guys need to go, you can go. I won't be offended if you walk out. Right?
Yeah.
My being offended stopped 50 seconds ago. So you guys can leave. Yeah. Thank you. And this is just my opinion. This is the thing is I'm not here to tell you guys what to do with your family. That's the beautiful thing about homeschool. You and your spouse and your kids get to pray and figure out what God's calling is on your life. For me, I will feel like I have done a really good job if I can keep my kids out of a public university. Absolutely. And even at this point, a Christian university, this is my plan with my kids. If they don't need that education for what God's called them to do, then they don't need to go there. It used to be when I was that age, like that's just what you did, right? You just went to college. And I loved college and I thought it was incredible. But just even financially, what they're being indoctrinated. If my kid if God calls him to be an engineer, because that's how my son is wired, then I pray that we can find alternative routes to get him what he needs to do that, right? But I am not in the mind, and in fact, I'm the opposite of they graduate high school and go to college. I'm just not. Just go visit a college campus. Well, here we are. Here we are. Go walk around a college campus. Yes.
Well, it's so easy to find people that can mentor and trades. It doesn't have to be like an academic.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. The trades are where it's at, people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
In Boise, they just shut down like one of the hugest tech companies and all these six-figure guys lost their jobs because AI stepped in. And I was like, the plumbers are still doing good, right? Like, they're going to work tomorrow. I mean, I don't know. It's not a bad gig. AI is not going to shut that down that I know of. thanks, you guys. Yeah, I can stay if you guys want to talk, but thank you. Were you guys in Boise?
No.
You look so familiar. Oh.